Hello and welcome to season two of Young Valley Leaders, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in our backyard and our communities, making a difference for themselves here right at home. I'm your host, Lewis Holzman, and today I'm here with Seth Tarborough.
Happy to be here. Nice to see you, Lewis.
Yes, sir. Nice to see you, too. We were just getting started, you know, kind of chopping it up before here. And I was I think it's been about a year since we really first met and had the opportunity to learn a little bit more about each other and really what kind of brought this engagement forward here today. So thanks for sticking with me and thanks for taking the time out of your day to come share your story. And that's really what this is all about, right? I mean, being able to get out in the community and experience that, hey, that's pretty neat. Someone else, I stumbled around that story. Oh, you know that person. And then next thing you know, we're connected, we're talking, we're having mutual connections. We're feeling like, you know what, like, let's have you on, let's hear your story. And I know so much has changed even in the last year, and we'll get into it a little bit, but you're within the insurance industry, you have a family, you're a Lehigh Valley local native, I think Emmaus, right? Graduated from, and
that's where I'm at now,
You're there now as well. And came out right out of school, kind of semi-professional in football, right?
Yeah, Lehigh Valley Storm. Played a little semi-pro here.
Nice. And so kind of that competitive nature, though, would you say that it's kind of what continued to drive you into your professional career then as you played through some adversity into understanding, well, where do I want to go from there? And you found insurance, and then you're able to really expand upon that into working into some unique opportunities, particularly in the commercial space now with EHD out of Why I'm Missing. So that's the nutshell that I'll give for your intro. But Seth, I'd like you to take it from the top here, or I guess really wherever you'd like to start. Who is Seth Tarborough? And what are we doing that's exciting here today in the Valley?
Yeah. I mean, a lot's happening in the Valley, and I'm excited to be a part of it. Like you said, started in insurance pretty young. I do have a sports background, kind of like you said, played football basically all my life competitively, and then a little semi-pro time. Broke my back, actually, which usually, you know, puts an end to that kind of a career.
But how are you doing on that now?
You know, I'm 35, so everything hurts.
Fair enough. But
you'd be surprised actually at how many, you know, former athletes find their way into this industry. Maybe sales in general, but you know, insurance specifically, there is definitely a competitive, you know, nature and element to it, and you have to like to win. We're still competing out here, not on the football field, but definitely still competing.
So how do you toe that line? I mean, between you wanting to win. And this is just insurance. This is sales in general. I'm in sales too, so I toe the line as well. But wanting to win and close the deal, get it done, get the high policy, whatever it might be, but also at the same time, make sure that we're doing right by the business, by the individual, by the organization, whatever it might be that's looking to be insured. Because at the end of the day, insurance is complex. It is. There's a lot of avenues. There's riders. There's also something that, knock on wood, a lot of people actually don't end up using but pay for it pretty much all the time. So it's an interesting balance that can be, you know, pretty delicate, but it's a necessity of life. So maybe talk to us a little bit about why you got involved in the industry, and particularly now, as you've, you know, recently transitioned to EHD, what you're excited about and working on within your profession now.
Yeah, insurance certainly is complex, and it is kind of you know, the thing that everybody pays for. It's one of the things you pay for and hope to never use, right? There's not too much of that. But it is really that something that everybody needs, and I think you'd be a little bit surprised at the things that you can insure, first of all. There's all kinds of things you can insure, but also maybe surprised at the things you can insure or that, you know, people choose not to insure. I actually read a blog sometime last year, I think, about insurance, for all the insurance nerds out there. Yeah, we read insurance blogs. There's, it was actually about the Mona Lisa and how the Mona Lisa is not insured.
Interesting.
Basically because they consider it priceless. It's irreplaceable, so there's not an amount of money, you know, in the world that you could put on that and get back and be able to replace it. So I think it was in the 60s or something like that, they decided they were actually just going to not insure it anymore and instead put all the money they would have paid towards premiums in extra security and all kinds of new security measures. So those kind of stories are certainly an element as to why I kind of found my way into the commercial space as opposed to working in personal insurance or anything like that. I get to talk to different people from different walks of life and different industries literally every day. And I'm always kind of been the kind of person that likes to learn new things as much as possible. Don't really like to float around in the same pond too long. This gives me that kind of opportunity to be a little bit of an expert in all types of different industries.
When you say commercial, like, I think I understand that, but could that be anything from, you know, the building that we're sitting in to a restaurant to a nonprofit dance school to
absolutely.
I think university,
aside from a university, I think I've literally insured every one of the things you just mentioned as far as, you know, buildings and dance schools and all kinds of different things. You know, in our line of work, it does help to build some kind of niche if possible. You know, instead of being a jack of all trades, be an expert at some things. EHD specifically is big into the public entity space. Okay. We do a lot of municipalities and townships, counties, school districts, that sort of thing. And that's a great opportunity as well. We get to meet a lot of people involved in those. Yeah, so municipality space, we do a lot of construction as well. A little bit of everything.
How'd you find EHD? I know you kind of made a transition since I had seen you last.
Yeah, they found me, actually. Again, a little bit of my history. I had been working for a smaller independent agency for 10 years. And for the last 5 years of that, my goal was to take over that agency when the owner retired and be an agency owner and run it. And I had pretty tunnel vision on that scenario. And I had been reached out to by other agencies, larger agencies who were working, you know, wondering if I would kind of come and work in the commercial space for them. And for the most part, I had kind of given them all the same answer of I want to be an agency owner, and that's kind of where I'm headed.
Right.
Spoke with EHD about that as well, and they were pretty persistent. They kind of kept asking if that plan was going to change, and eventually, you know, they had said, "Hey, I hope you take our persistence as a compliment," and that led to one more conversation, and then coffee, and then a lunch, and then here we are.
Nice. Well, I mean, everything does tend to happen for a reason, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, if you look out over the next 10 years, 15 years, does that agency owner's dream still, is that still in the can at all? Or is that something that we've moved on from and looking to, you know, be a part of a bigger team and happy with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't close the door on opportunities, certainly not, but I'm very happy, with where I'm at. And like I said, they have really given me every opportunity to kind of do the things I excel in, work in the spaces that I want to work with. You know, go after the kind of clients that I want to work with. They let me kind of flex my creative muscles. I write blogs, hopefully relatively funny blogs for our website as well. And we are also actually at some point hopefully starting a podcast. So might be involved with that as well. We'll see.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, some people could look out and say, oh, I'm sure that's dry or boring. But it sounds like you really try to bring an angle to it where, especially within your own work personally, yeah, I can stretch some creative freedom there. But then when we look out into, you say, I work with specific clients, or it's good to be able to double down on a specific niche. It sounds like you then look out into community to understand not only who and how do I want to work with people, but display the importance of why it's necessary to be able to build the relationships with the different various niche or commercial businesses that are out there.
Yeah.
Is there a niche that you've started to explore, double down in, or a community that you like have really honed in on as just, man, this is my tribe. These are my people.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm still in the stage where I like being able to open different doors and work in different industries and flex different muscles and you know, learn about, become an expert in different industries as well. But as far as a niche, I've actually have been, you know, entering into the municipality space. So I'm doing quite a bit of work in there and enjoying that. And also child care centers. That's something that I actually started kind of focusing on a few years ago. And I've done more and more. I've done some, I've written one in Chicago, actually. So,
oh, wow. So you're not just in Pennsylvania. You guys, like...
Yeah, I mean, our offices are in Pennsylvania, so Lancaster is actually where our kind of HQ is, but we've got a location in Wyomissing and an Exton as well, and then out west in Pittsburgh. So that's where, you know, offices are, but we can ride all over the country.
Interesting. Well, that's pretty expensive then. I don't know enough about it, but I just figured that you're licensed and insured here in Pennsylvania, and that's where you did business, but I guess you can get licensed.
Yeah, I'm licensed in a multitude of states, yeah.
Cool. So I do want to pull back to something I guess the question is, you know, if you look back 10, 15 years ago, even 20 years ago, what would you say to your younger self? But I want to preface that with a little nugget that you said. You jumped into the insurance business at an early age.
Yeah.
So thinking about that question 10, 15, 20 years ago, what would you tell yourself? Maybe insurance isn't even part of that picture quite yet. And so how did you propel yourself into just like the working world, professional world, I think out of high school?
Not too long after high school.
So like, talk to us a little bit about that and that drive that helped you kind of move that forward.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot that goes into that. I get a little practice every day kind of talking to a young version of myself because I've got kids.
Okay.
And, you know, my oldest is 16, actually.
Okay,
so,
yeah, so
I literally am talking to a younger version of myself pretty much every day.
That's incredible.
You know, so trying to, you know, lead them in the right way is obviously super important. And, you know, before any of the work stuff, I would tell a younger version of myself the same thing I try to tell my sons and my daughter, which is, you know, hey, be kind, right? Be good people. Build good relationships. Be good to people without expecting things in return and you know, keep that energy moving kind of cyclically. As for kind of insurance and how that started, yeah, again, obviously I've got a 16-year-old son, so we started rather young. So pretty soon after high school, realized the Wawa paycheck was not going to cover important bills.
Sure.
So kind of had to really enter the workforce and get a big boy job. I think I was about 21 maybe when I started working with the Hartford. So that was on the carrier side of things. It's a little bit different where you're kind of exclusive working with one, you know, insurance carrier.
Right.
But I took to it pretty quickly. You know, it's funny because when I was growing up, the only thing you ever heard about insurance agents or anything like that, again, playing sports, you hear a lot of times if somebody gets drafted to a pro sport and they bust or they don't have a great career, people ask, oh, what's that guy doing now? I was like, oh, he's off selling insurance somewhere probably. You know, so it's certainly not the dream job when you're in high school. It's not plan A, not the kind of thing you think you're, you know, you set that goal to end up in. But I took to it pretty quickly and kind of realized, you know, this is an industry that really should be a plan A for a lot of people.
Sure.
There's a ton of potential in it. And there's also a lot of space in the workforce. It's a pretty crazy statistic. Something like over 60% of the active workforce right now in the insurance industry is within like 10 years of retirement.
Wow.
So there is a real need for, you know, people my age and even younger than me, you know, to get involved and find their way into this industry and kind of realize the, you know, the benefits and what comes along with it, which is there's a lot of potential.
There's a lot to be able to step up there.
Absolutely.
and really feel sounds like a gaping hole.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And I do want to get a little bit more into that as we come back for our second session, but
yeah.
We sped through that first 15 minutes here. And so we'll be right back to get a little bit more into the career, into the gaping holes of insurance. But it's not just insurance, though. I think in general, we see that with that baby boomer population.
Sure.
Aging out, and we have that going across trades. We have that. Yep. Going across a lot. Yep. Of different industries. So I do want to get your thoughts on there.
Yep.
But we'll take a quick break here.
Sounds
Seth
good.
Tarborough, Lewis Holzman, we'll be right back.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
And we are back. Lewis Holzman here with Seth Tarborough. We are talking insurance. We are talking about the baby boomers aging out and giving the rest of us some freaking opportunity, man. No, I say that in jest, but I'm really excited to hear about that perspective and the growth opportunities for not only your career, but other young leaders as we start to be the leaders.
Yeah.
In our organizations and in our industries, and certainly here in the Valley. And I think that's where I want to point to next here is when you think about the opportunities you have in the industry and, you know, others around you and your peers, whether it's in insurance or not, what does being a young leader here mean to you? That's career, but I think another big piece of that is family. You
Yeah.
have, you know, 16-year-old you know, it, with some other variety, but I think younger probably. He's at 16 year oldest. So you're leading a family unit, but with very much so young adults here looking up to you. It's not just others listening in here. So we'd love to hear your perspective on what that means.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, being a leader is important. I think there are different ways to be a leader, which is pretty important to keep in mind as well.
Very important to keep in mind.
You know, lots of people have a certain perspective of what a leader looks like and how a leader acts and that kind of thing. But there are literally tons of different definitions as to how you, there's, you know, servant leadership, you know, kind of building up the people around you and putting them in the best position to succeed. You know, I leading by example, I would say, is really, really important to me. And again, it does kind of stem back to my family and my kids and making sure that I'm you know, raising good men. You know, I've got a daughter too, and my wife's just a great example for her. You know, but certainly as far as my boys go, you know, this is a critical time for young men, especially in our country. They have access to a lot of different platforms that give them different messages on who they should be, how they should act, how they should carry themselves. You know, I don't agree with all those ideas, so it's important to you know, make sure that you're speaking loudly and setting the kind of example that you want people to follow.
So how do you counter that as a parent? Like in practicality, like, right? I mean, you just have, like you said, a million different mediums of how all that information is coming in. And for me, like, I can just, like, delete my social media and I'm just going to totally punt that.
Yep.
but, like, for kids, that's not how that works, especially when the rest of their schooling and friends and everything 100%. Are all a part of that. Yep. Even if dad's saying, yo, go punt that. Yeah. Like, that's not, I assume that's not how that happens.
Yeah, no, it's not easy. There's a few things that are important, and it's, you know, being pretty consistent with it, which again, being consistent with anything is hard, right? Consistently waking up and go to the gym, consistently doing things you got to do every single day can be difficult, that kind of discipline. So it's teaching those kind of things, teaching discipline, but also, you know, making sure they know the difference between the kind of things you're telling them, the kind of things other people telling them, and speak honestly with them, especially, you know, when they become a teenager and they're in high school and they've got other guys around with different opinions. It's impossible to keep them away from it all.
Yeah.
You know, again, my kid's got 16. He's got, you know, TikTok and Facebook and all the other social medias. And there's lots of different, you know, the algorithm and all kinds of different things that are sent their way. So, you know, trying to just tell them, hey, don't watch this, don't watch that, stay away from this, it's impossible.
Yeah, you know, you're doing that literally all day, every day. Being
right,
like,
exactly.
Don't.
And there's only so many kind of child security and different things you can set up on, you know, on the apps to prevent them from seeing certain things. At some point, they're going to see things, they're going to access things. And having a transparent relationship with them so that they feel comfortable to ask you questions. You know, my kids come and ask me questions all the time. Dad, I saw this. What do you think about this? Is this right? Is this true? You know, and I give them my opinion on it and, you know, why I have that opinion. And to this point, I think we've done a pretty good job of hopefully kind of leading them in the right way and, you know, hope to continue to do so.
Are they following your path in football?
You know, both of my sons play flag football right now. It's funny, when I was growing up, you know, I loved football and all sports. Even if I didn't, I probably didn't have an option not to play. I mean, my dad was going to make me play football even if I didn't like it. Luckily, I loved it. You know, when I was in high school, I imagined, hey, if I ever have a son, he's going to play football. He's going to play football with a helmet and pads. He's going to do this. Like, this is what we do. You know, broken back and multiple concussions later, I kind of looked back and I was, yeah, I guess maybe not. Right.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
If they've got an absolute passion for it and, you know, they're screaming at me every day, Dad, I have to play football, you know, then you know, maybe it's something we'll do. But that was a transition I wasn't expecting, realizing that wouldn't be something I would force on them, but, you know, maybe even hold them back from that. But yeah, they both play flag football. They enjoy it. My youngest is 5, so he's kind of just running around playing sharks and minnows out there.
Fair enough. It sounds like that came naturally to you, though, as you've grown as an individual, as an adult, and certainly as a parent, realizing what's best for the kids and what they want to do isn't necessarily what your 18-year-old self envisioned what 100%. Was best. You know, things change. And recognizing that things change and that whether it's things change and you were wrong and then being able to admit that or that things just evolve is an incredible trait to have that I think some people hold a little bit too close.
Yeah.
They see whether it's with kids or anything, they say, oh, this changed or my opinion on this change, but oh, I'd be stupid or embarrassed if I shout out and say, oh, yeah, I changed my opinion.
I'm anxious for those opportunities, really, is kind of the way I look for it. I look for those opportunities to gather new information and possibly change my mind on something, you know?
It shows growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd be embarrassed and worried if I had the same perspective on everything as I did when I was 18.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, hopefully I've grown in a lot of those ways. You know, and I hope I can help my kids grow and not just them, but, you know, other young men and other young people who you know, might see me and the way I behave, and, you know, hope to set a good example for all of them.
Changing up a little bit, but, you know, towing the line towards other people and making an impact there. Any organizations or associations, clubs, things like that you may be a part of, or even projects or initiatives that you have coming up that you want to share?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I am involved in a bunch of kind of industry, you know, focused organizations. There's IAMB, which is Independent Agents and Brokers, is kind of an affiliate agent organization within our industry in the area. Do a lot with them. I've spoken on a panel for interns and young people entering our workforce. So that was a fun opportunity. It was last July, actually.
Is that put together through your company, or is that through one of the associations?
Yeah, it's a different association. So they do a lot for, you know, this industry. They work with our agency and lots of other agencies, you know, in the area, and are really kind of centrally focused around that idea of kind of keeping this industry alive and you know, bringing new talent into it. Mm. So, again, had the opportunity to speak to, you know, I thought within the last couple of years I could still kind of consider myself, you know, young in this industry. And then I spoke on a panel to interns who were all just out of college or still finishing college last year, and realized I am not the young guy in the industry anymore.
Yeah, maybe not the young guy in the industry per se, but I think still young enough where it's like you're not the, like, old shark in the career, and you are relatable.
Yeah.
Like, you have a younger charisma as well as just a closer age gap that someone coming out of college can resonate with and kind of latch on to as a mentor. Not to say that you can't do that with someone in their 50s or 60s or 70s, but it just does make it a little bit more relevant and personal.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I certainly hope so. I mean, mentorship is, you know, again, kind of going back to the idea of, you know, leading by example is a huge thing for me as well. And not just being a mentor, but the mentors I've had, you know, to this point in my career and still hope to have. Again, I mean, the previous agency I worked for, it was there during that 10-year, probably the first couple of years, that I really started transitioning to look at this industry as a career rather than a job. And I kind of realized the opportunity I had, you know, at hand. It was really like working for a trade, you know, watching a master craftsman, you know, in his craft every single day, and have the opportunity to pick his brain every day. And that's been invaluable for me. And I've got a ton of, you know, mentors now, you know, where I'm at as well at EHD. And it's fantastic, you know, being able to learn from people who are not just good at what they do in the industry, but also care about the people they work for and work with. And, you know, being able to pass that kind of thing along is important.
And that's the end of the day when you're working really almost in anything, but certainly in any type of professional services, it's like you're working with people.
100%.
Working with people, you're working for people, your clients are people.
It's a relationship business, absolutely.
And so caring, compassionate, and something you said earlier about, you know, that you try to instill in your kids, kindness, like all of those things that can be so easily overlooked because, like, they're simple.
Sure.
They're objectively easy.
Yeah, they should be. They should be. I think, you know, people struggle with them sometimes, and it's a bit surprising, but, you know, that's huge when it comes to our industry. It really is a relationship business, and there are ways to purchase insurance without an agent at all today, right? There are outlets that you can get it online and without having to work with a broker. People have agents for long periods of time, and lots of times that's because of the relationship they've been able to establish. So that's a big part of what we do, and it's why we've got clients that, you know, want to work with us instead of trying to learn how to do this themselves and get the policies they need themselves. There's an amount of trust, you know, that gets built up that, you know, we you know, get built up over time and keeps people coming back and brings new clients to us as well.
The relationship aspect of it, it's kind of just dinged a light bulb for me, because I think such a challenge that we're seeing and experiencing across our society is building those actual in-person real relationships and
100%.
Having true real communication with people.
Yeah, it's scary.
It is the fact that is happening is scary, but it's odd to me as someone that I believe, is very good at communicating with and building a relationship with people, that like our society is just punting relationships in person and looking online and bypassing people, afraid to pick up the phone to like order delivery or to talk to a person that can really help you with insurance in this case. So I got to imagine that's part of the challenge in bringing in new generations of people to backfill, you know, all the roles. It's like, well, but what if I just go online?
Right. And I think when we, you know, we bring it back to kind of when we talked about, you know, the younger generations as they're entering the workforce and that kind of thing, that's something that you hear a lot about. I mean, I think I've heard a lot of you know, stories about people in Gen Z losing jobs and that sort of thing. Not because they don't have the skills to do the actual work, but a lot of time because of their communication skills, right? Yeah. Because they're not used to looking people in the eye and having conversations and you know, the way you tailor a conversation to a certain person, right? Those are the kind of things that a lot of people in the next generation seem to be, you know, struggling with. So it's certainly a point, you know, that I try to hammer home, you know, when I'm talking to my kids, that's for sure.
And it's an interesting adversity point for the younger generation because, you know, you look back at it, you know, they have all this technology, we have all this AI stuff going on now, but we had COVID, you know, where a lot of them were in high school or middle school or college, and then they just basically had somewhere between a year to 4 years of just like a straight pass, and that's fine, and now here you are, hybrid school. And so you didn't have to go through those life-building skills that we were forced to, like hand-to-hand combat. Whether you liked it or not, you figured it out together, so.
Yeah, we grew up in a, you know, I always say we kind of grew up in a sweet spot, you know, era where we were kind of before everything became social media and that sort of thing.
And digital.
And, you know, so we had a frame of reference of what the world was like before that we kind of need those, you know, that ability to communicate. But then we also were able to use all those tools, social media and all that. They're great tools, but when you treat them that way, you know, as opposed to kind of viewing them as reality.
Yeah, for sure. We are flying through the second session here too, and I want to make sure we, before we jump, that we give people an opportunity to find you, follow you. So how can people do that if they want to get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, Seth Tarbrough. Find me on LinkedIn. Aside from that, I'm pretty much a ghost on social media.
I'm the same way.
I try to keep it really, really limited. There was certainly a time where I had them all, and as I've gotten older, I've closed all those down. So you can definitely find me at LinkedIn. But again, I'm with EHD, so EHD Insurance. We've got a website. I'm on there as well.
Find them on LinkedIn, EHD's website. Love it. And then before we jump, any advice, final comments, words of strength, encouragement that you want to leave our young leaders listening in?
I think we touched on a lot of that stuff. I certainly again start by saying, be kind, you know, be good people, be good to each other, be as disciplined as you can. You know, the sooner you can kind of learn ways to set up your schedule and follow a schedule and be disciplined and get things done when you need to get them done, it's going to be exponentially better for you growing forward.
I love it. Grounded in discipline. There's a saying, the easy things in life are easy to do, but they're also easy not to do.
Sure.
And the discipline is what holds you accountable, your 100%. Own self accountable to making sure you get those things done. Because that's the consistency that you talked about earlier.
That's it.
Right?
And it makes a huge difference. I mean, there's not much more rewarding than seeing growth in something, looking back a week, a month, a year, and being able to see, kind of track how you've grown in an area and realize, oh, wow, you know, that is because of the hours that I actually put in doing that and the times that I woke up and felt like, oh, I don't really want to do that, but I made myself do it. Real, real tangible kind of evidence there.
Yeah. Life is happening to all of us, and it compounds for all of us every single day.
Yeah.
And you get to choose whether it's compounding good habits or bad habits.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Awesome, man. Well, pleasure having you on the show. And you can find this show airing monthly at 6:30 p.m. on WDIY.org or 88.1 FM. And then forever streaming on WDIY.org as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, and wherever else you may find your streaming episodes. So, Seth, again, thank you for your time here today.
Thanks so much for having me, man.
James, Seamus, Matt, WDIY. Thanks for giving us the time and space and the energy for this show. Lewis Holzman here, Seth Tarbrough, Young Valley Leaders, Season 2, over and out.